The show you're listening to is called The Ron Van Dam Show because calling it the Mr. Sassy Pants Hour of Truth and Beauty just didn't test well with audiences, which is probably for the best. This is Mr. Sat. This is The Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Hey, it's all Mr. Sassy Pants.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
My pants are sassy. When I go shopping for pants, I go to the sassy section where they have the sassy pants. Why, just yesterday, I was in the mall walking around to get exercise and somebody stopped me, a young lady, and said, "Oh my God, your pants are so sassy." And I said, "You leave me alone, stop stalking me." And you know how I know, how they know that I'm wearing sassy pants? Because across the butt cheeks of the pants on the rear end, it spells out in italics, sassy. And that is the extent of my sassy pants routine. Thank you so much for listening. It goes over very well with audiences in Brazil. I don't know why, but it does. Okay, welcome to the show. How are you? Happy whatever day this is to you. Whatever day, I don't know what, I have no idea what day. Does it matter anymore? Does it even matter what day of the week it is? Tuesday, Friday, Monday, whatever. What difference does it make? The sun comes up, the sun goes down, which it doesn't even really do, but some people think it does. If you want to know if somebody's an idiot, just talk to them and see if they think that the sun actually rises into the sky on its own. And then later in the day, while you stay permanently affixed in the universe, the sun goes down over that little hill over in your backyard. Oh, really? Oh, God. I live amongst them. And it's not the zombies I'm concerned about, it's the actual people who are living. Those are the ones I'm worried about. I can outrun a zombie. I mean, God, I've done that before. They don't run very fast because they're actually dead and their limbs are falling off if they move too fast. So I can outrun them easily. As a matter of fact, it's a good form of exercise. So the zombie apocalypse... What are you kidding me? The human apocalypse? That's dangerous. That's concerning. Anyway, welcome to the program. I don't mean to start it off on a negative note, but at the same time, what the hell? Because I am Mr. Sassy Pants. This is a true story, and it's not that I lie about every... You know, when someone tells you, okay, I'm going to tell you a true story now, I'm going to tell you something, and I'm not kidding. Okay, that means that you're kidding all the time, but this time you have to specially say that this is not a lie? Okay, what does that mean? Anyway, this is the truth. Yesterday I was sitting down, which is, I think you can believe that part of the story. Ron, you were sitting down yesterday? I think that's true. And I stared at my knee, as one tends to do when they're sitting down, and there was a rip in my pants. Now, I know people pay a lot of money to have ripped jeans. I know that. I've seen that. Ripped jeans are quite expensive. They're not actually ripped. Destroyed. They are, they're weathered, you know, they're antiqued. they're distressed. They're distressed jeans. Oh, my jeans are so distressed. Why? Oh, they've gone through a lot. They've just gone through a lot. A lot of baggage, a lot of things going on with my jeans. They're distressed, the poor little babies. So I actually had a horizontal rip in my jeans to the point where you could see my knee. And I'm thinking, oh, that's awfully sexy. But then I realized, no, if I walk down the street like that at my age, it will not be fashionable. It's, oh, this guy can't afford clothes. You know that's true. It's an age thing. If you see a 23-year-old walking down the street with ripped jeans at the knees, you're saying, oh, all right. If you're seeing a 60-year-old guy walking down the street with ripped jeans, it's, oh, God, should we give him a quarter? I mean, that's rough. He must have a rough life. He can't afford pants. And I never want to go through life. I never want to have a day when someone looks at me and says, oh, he can't afford pants. Whether it's true or not, because pants are very expensive, that's not the point. So anyway, so ripping my jeans. And now today, I have something to do. I've got to go to the pants store, Pants R Us, and I've got to buy a pair of pants, not just one pant, although that's really all I need because the rip was only on the right leg. But I can't buy just a pant. I have to buy pants. I have to get a matching set of legs. Why do they call it a pair of underpants, though? They don't even have legs. The underpants don't have panties. I got to wear a pair of panties, both at the same time? I don't understand that. Terminology is weird. Anyway, that's what I have to do today, shopping for pants. And, you know, I don't mind shopping for pants every once in a while because it makes me feel good about myself. I don't know what that means. It's just that I have to take these pants now and walk them to this dressing fitting room thing and take my real pants off, my real ones, and try these other ones on. And that means I got to take my shoes off. And, oh, it's just such a... undressing in public is not something I like. It's just a pain in the ass. And when I get dressed in the morning, that's it. That's it. That wasn't easy. Now that's it for the day. But when you're trying on pants, no. I got to undress in a little cubicle somewhere. It's a pain in the ass. And they don't make pants the same size. One manufacturer's size, what is it, like 30? I don't know, whatever. Is not another manufacturer's size 30. Those two pants will not fit, even though they're the same size. How is that possible? It's America, and they don't do anything about it. There should be something wrong with that. They put tags on pillows. If you remove the tag, they'll put you in jail. I've never seen that actually happen, but no one's really thought it was worth testing. You know what I mean? I got to tell you a little secret. I removed a tag from my pillow once, and nobody came to get me. I know. That's a form of laxity in our penal system. I don't know what I just said. Anyway, I'm pants shopping today. I'll be picking out pants. Thank you very much. Save your applause to the end. I wanted to talk today about... The thesis of the show is two things. One is that the human race never got it right and never will. And the other thesis of this entire series of programs is that I talk about things that we go through, but we don't talk about it. Stand-up comedians don't even talk about this stuff. As trivial and as ridiculous as they get, this is stuff we all go through, but we don't talk about it because it's just not worth it. And, you know, it's my calling in life. Yesterday, I was watching a television commercial, as I will do every once in a while, and it was for a vacuum cleaner. I think it was a shark or something. Not the fish, but the actual vacuum cleaner. And they were, like, taking this vacuum cleaner, and it was picking everything up. I mean, it was no piece of dirt on the floor that was not prone to be picked up by this machine. And they had people on the commercial saying, this is the best vacuum I've ever had. And I'll tell you something. Sometimes I am prompted to buy one of these vacuum cleaners because my vacuum cleaners never work. They never do. But that's the problem. When you buy a vacuum cleaner, no matter how big or small it may be, the first time you use it, What do you say to yourself? This machine is amazing. I wish I had gotten this machine before. This vacuum is fantastic. Then you use it a second time. This vacuum is still fantastic. I love it. The third time. It's good, but it's not like it was. Maybe I should clean it out. So you open up the little contraption, which you can never get back the same way that it was in originally. And you empty that little tray there that has the garbage in it. But the brushes are now full of hairs and things. I got to pick those out individually. There's no like way to clean that out. So I clean that out, and then I vacuum, and it's like, okay, that's better, but it's nothing like when I first got the machine. About 6 months later, 1 year later, this machine sucks. This vacuum sucks, and I don't mean that in a good way. It's supposed to suck, but it doesn't, but it sucks. We've got to get our definitions of suck in the same line, because with a vacuum cleaner, if the vacuum cleaner doesn't suck, then its vacuuming isn't working. So the vacuum cleaner is supposed to suck. But when it doesn't suck, you say, this sucks because it doesn't suck. That's when you return it to the store and you have this Abbott and Costello routine going on. What's wrong with the vacuum, sir? This vacuum sucks. Well, then that's what it's supposed to do. No, it doesn't suck. So you like it. Who's on first? Anyway. Isn't it right? Raise your hand if you agree with me. Oh, nobody? What the hell? What the hell? Hey, what the hell? Yeah, same vacuum cleaners, man. I can't. They're important. They're important things. You got to get that crap off the floor. There's another item. Same thing. When you buy it, this is fantastic. A few uses later, oh, God, doesn't do what it's supposed to do. And I'm talking about frying pans. Really? Yeah. Especially the Teflon ones, where nothing sticks to it. You watch those commercials, nothing sticks to that pan. Nothing. You can put crazy glue in that pan, and it ain't going to stick to it. That Teflon is unbelievable. Now, you can't have certain Teflon coatings anymore. I don't know which one it is, the PFOA, the POT, the PSA. I don't know what it is, but it's illegal in this country. So now you have to have the less caustic, the one that won't give you cancer too much. So you got the Teflon coating. I have the ceramic, which is not Teflon at all. It's just ceramic. And that's non-stick as well. That's what I go with. And that's the problem. So I'm watching these TV commercials and nothing sticking to that pan at all. And believe me, that's a luxury. That's a look. Because I don't want to cook with oil and butter all the time. I want to just put the thing in the pan, heat it up, and slide it out, and let's go home. Not that I'm left. I am at home. You know what I mean. Let's leave the kitchen is what I mean. So I buy this pan. And the first few times, this pan is amazing. Nothing sticks to it. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. It's incredible. You use it to fry an egg or something, and then you notice, well, the egg isn't just slipping out like it used to. Well, it's still everything still comes off when I wash it with a sponge. Because you can't use a scouring pad with these ceramic things or these Teflons. They say, you know, you can use metal objects, metal scrapers with the Teflon. Don't do it, you idiot. But the pan isn't like it was when you bought it. That's my point. Just like the vacuum cleaner. Although here you can say this pan actually really sucks. But it's not supposed to suck. That works better. So I am on a lifelong search to find a pan that actually works after like maybe 5 or 6 uses, because after that, it doesn't stick like it did before. And that's because we never learn our lesson in life, do we? As intelligent as I am, I never learned my lesson. And that is when you buy something new, it's going to be fantastic at first. You're going to say things like, this is, I can't believe I lived without it. You're going to say that. It's just like if you drink too much and the next morning you're feeling like really lousy, like you want to throw up. What do you say to yourself? I'm never going to drink again. Alcohol, that is. We also, raise your hand if you say that. What, nobody? Raise your hand if you say that. Yeah, you have too much to drink, and you at some point, within a very close proximity of your drunkenness, you say, I'm not doing this again. I have learned my lesson. Where are you the next night? Drinking again. We never learn our lessons. Trump was president for 4 years. Now he's running again. We never learn our lessons. I'm just pausing so that you can soak that in. Okay, good. Yeah, so now I'm today, and these two things have something in common, oddly enough, and it is odd how these two subjects that I've just mentioned have in common. I'm going to be shopping for pants. Let's spell pants. P-A-N-T. I also am looking for a pan that works really, really well all the time. How do you spell that? P-A-N. So I'm looking for a P-A-N and a P-A-N-T. Oh my God, Ron. How did you actually tie these two objects together in the same vein? That's my talent. I never knew what my talent was. Never. I just realized it right now. The things that I say that seemingly have nothing in common whatsoever actually do when you spell them out. Talent that I cannot believe or contain. Okay, changing subjects now. There's a television show that I will not watch anymore. It's American Idol. When it first came on the air, this is the same thing, same thesis here. When it first came on the air for the first, like, maybe 3-4 seasons with Simon Cowell and Randy Jackson and that girl who supposedly dances, I don't remember her name. You remember her name, I don't, so I'll not even go there. Anyway, that was fascinating. It was fun. The American Idol thing was like America voted. It was like more people voted on American Island. American Island. I'm from an American island. More people voted during American Idol for the winner than they did for the presidential election. I don't know if that's true, but it just sounds kind of crazy to say, but probably true. Anyway, that's not true, by the way, but it sounds like it could be, but it wasn't. Anyway, and then they changed these judges, and all of a sudden I'm not watching this show. And also because, okay, like, enough with this show. Enough. There's no clever writing going on. There's no complicated plots. Enough of this shit. Now, when I see American Idol by mistake, I quickly change the channel. Like, I am not watching this. This is enough. Stop this insanity. Here's an amazing fact. American Idol winners from the past do really, really well. Recently, I don't even know who they are. It's true. Yeah, Jennifer Hudson has her own talk show, and she's quite popular. And the first American Idol winner, she's got her own talk show too. Kelly Clarkson. Yeah. And she's also the spokesperson for Wayfair, which is a company I will not deal with anymore because I find them to be quite annoying and inefficient. But anyway, and then there are others, Fantasia Burrito or something. She's in movies and stuff. I mean, you know, but the recent ones, not so much. So enough, done, finished. All right, let's move on. I have a guest today, and we'll be talking to the guest momentarily, but first, a commercial break. We'll come along and try to convince you to buy things.
Gentlemen, have you ever been in the mood for a nice knish or maybe bagel and a schmear, but you're also in the mood for some exotic dancing? You can't find those in the same place. Until now. I'm Moishe Kaufman, inviting you to come visit us at Moishe's Knish and Strippers, the area's first genuine kosher deli and titty bar. Come in and rock out with your locks out and check out our dances. These girls are so nice, you'll plots, and they're all certified kosher. Maybe not the kind of girl you bring home to mother, but once you see Delia fold a dollar bill without using her hands, you won't care what mom thinks. Look, Bubby, you're in a strip club. That alone is enough to kill her. So live a little. Every Thursday, don't miss our buns and brisket buffet from noon to 6. Moishe's Knish and Strippers is closed on the Sabbath. Hey, we might be a little unorthodox, but we're not heathens.
Hi, Emily.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
I'm great. Emily Fago is here. She's an assistant editor for the National Geographic Kids Books team. I love these books because they're not for kids, they're for me. So I appreciate that.
Wonderful. Yeah, I can't help but enjoy them as well. They're great.
Yeah, they are. And I especially love this series, anything that has to do with learning these little trivia facts that aren't so little, actually. But, I mean, every fact is just amazing. It's stuff I didn't know. This is great for everybody.
Yes, absolutely. This is the kind of book that kids and parents and grandparents can really read together and explore and learn together and take these little tidbits to the next level and maybe dive a little bit deeper since each spread is themed. So if you're really interested in baseball facts, you could take that to the next level and go in that direction as well.
I'm always fascinated by these books that have these interesting facts, and National Geographic does this every once in a while, and I love it. But I'm always fascinated, how do you find these facts, these tidbits of information? I know there's an entire team put together. Is that how that works?
Yes, there is an entire team working behind the scenes to make this happen. For this book in particular, we had two writers, we had a researcher, and then we had the a project manager that helped to kind of organize all of the facts in a way that made sense. And then on top of that, to really make the book pop and come to life, we had some wonderful photo editors yes. and designers on board. So it definitely took a team to make this happen, and I'm really happy with how it came out.
Yeah, well, that's part of the bonus with National Geographic. You get these incredible images as well. Let's run through some of these interesting facts here so that we can get a taste of what it's actually like. And speaking of taste, I'll just run through them and you can elaborate. Apparently you can taste garlic with your feet.
Yeah, that's a fun one as well. Yeah, I love that.
Wow, that's weird. I guess your feet smell as bad as your breath does. I don't know. All right. Let's talk about the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. We kind of take it for granted. Some of these big balloons apparently take some effort.
Oh yes, definitely. Yeah, that's a fun one. We've got a ton of elaborate spreads on different holidays mm-hmm. and events around the world. So it's been really interesting to learn about those as well.
Wow. Alpacas spit at one another when angry. It's almost like humans do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I love the animal behavior spreads too. It's been great to get to learn all about that.
Yeah. What are some other facts that that have blown your socks off?
Good question. There's a ton in here. It's hard to pick, but I do have to say I love the spread that's dedicated to cheese. And one fact that I liked was that cheese may help prevent cavities. And there was also a little bit of a grosser fact that scientists have made cheese using bacteria, using human toes and belly buttons. So definitely don't eat that cheese, but
wow.
Those are some fun ones.
I've heard people refer to belly buttons and toe jam, quote unquote, as cheese, but that's actually like, yeah.
Yes, they took it to the next level. They really made it cheese. Wow. Not edible, but they have made it cheese. And yeah, that cheese can help prevent cavities. Definitely still brush your teeth, but it's an interesting little fact in there too.
Wow. How did, Emily, how did you get involved in this? Was there a part of your childhood that opened up this fascination door for you?
Yes, absolutely. I've always loved to read, and I specifically actually remember getting the Weird But True book, one of the originals from National Geographic.
Yes.
So I've always kind of liked to look at the strange and unusual things around me. The little things, too. I remember as a kid, I would sit in my driveway and feed ants little piece of croissants.
Oh.
And I loved how, I always thought it was really cool that they worked together and they were so strong. And I was a strange little kid just feeding them the good croissants that my mom probably wasn't happy about. But I think that really at a young age kind of helped me appreciate the little things.
Wow. It's some European cuisine for the ants. It's very civilized what you did.
Yes, the ants by my house. Yes, they were eating good by my house for
certainly.
Sure. They brought their friends.
Wow. Did anybody ever count how many interesting, mind-blowing facts there are in these in this book?
Oh, there's hundreds. Each spread, we have some single fact spreads with bright and beautiful photos, thanks to our photo editors. But each page has 10 facts per page, and there's about 200 pages. So, there's hundreds in here. Yeah.
Okay. And this is available now to peoples?
Yes, this is out now. It came out at the end of February. You can get it wherever books are sold. Check out your local bookstores, but you can also find it online.
That's amazing. Give me another example of another fact that just is like, wow.
I like we have a whole spread that's baseball themed.
Uh-huh.
And one fact that I liked was that about 19 million hot dogs are sold at Major League Baseball games every year.
Wow.
That's a lot of hot dogs.
I think I have half of them. That's a lot of hot
dogs. That's a lot of hot dogs.
A lot of hot dogs. It is a lot of hot dogs. I see here that the Amazon is so dense with vegetation that it can take 10 minutes for rain to reach the ground. Oh my God, that's thick.
Yes, very thick. Those canopies of trees definitely contribute to that. Yeah, a lot of really interesting facts about wildlife in here as well. We've got facts about space, famous musicians. There's so much variety in this book that someone is bound to find their favorite spread that they're going to love, but there's so much variety that you can't help but
love them all. A lot of different categories. It's amazing. You know, I've read these books before from National Geographic, and it really opens your mind. It's kind of interesting. You go to school and you learn history and mathematics and, you know, all that stuff. Grammar, I suppose, but the real things that stick with you are these amazing things where it's life around you, but you never saw it that way. And that actually opens up a person's mind, not just a kid, but it opens up a human's mind into this amazing world that we live in. It does more than just say a couple of facts, I guess.
Absolutely. And I think kind of with this theme of the book is that kids have this innate curiosity. They're always asking questions about the things that we kind of just ignore. We have these blinders on, just going about our business once we get into adulthood.
Yeah.
And I think it's really important to reconnect with that childhood curiosity and see the world and all of its wonders and some of the strange things as well, and really keep that curiosity alive. And I think this book does a great job of having those little bite-sized tidbits that they'll resonate with you, and you'll share them with your friends, and you know, maybe use it at trivia night at some point. But it's really it's really great to have that kind of variety, and you can always branch out and dive a little bit deeper later, but these are really great little tidbits that stick with you.
Yeah, well, curiosity can be a wonderful thing unless you're asking your parents.
Absolutely.
About okay, so available everywhere. And once again, the title is That's Fact-tastic. And you will find it everywhere. And pick it up, man, because it's a great book. And, get it even for the holidays. Just store it and give it to your kids then. But I don't think you can wait that long. So it should be a lot of fun. What's
it's
next?
It's a wonderful gift.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
As part of a team like that and a spokesperson, like, what's next for you?
Well, there's one book that I'm really excited about. I'm working on this series. It's called the Little Kids First Nature Guides series. And Explore the Beach is coming out this spring. It's coming out in May. And it's really about getting kids outside in their immediate environment and exploring. The first book was about bugs. So yeah. The bugs of your backyard. Yeah. And that's a series I'm really excited about.
Yucky. Okay. Emily, it's been fascinating, and thanks for doing what you do. We appreciate it. Well, that'll do it for me today. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new program. I hope you join me then. I really do. But until that time arrives, I wish you peace.